Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Atshalom. We're now in Masachet Bava Kama Daf Mem Amud Aleph, near the top of the Amud. We're going to finish our discussion about the apotropos and about payment for Nezakin done by property owned by his wards. And then we'll go back to the end of the Mishnah in Lamed Tet Amud Aleph and see the last line and see the analysis of the Gemara about Shor HaYitzdin. Tanu Rabbanan, apotropos im mishalmin min haliyah ve'in mishalmin kofer. So they do pay min haliyah, but there is no payment of kofar, meaning if the ox of the or the animal of the their wards who are yitomim kills somebody, they don't have to pay kofar. Now, man tana kufar kapara, so there's discussion whether kofar is essentially mamon or a kapara. So we assume that the position taken that kufra kapara, that kofar, is really a kapara for the owner of the animal, and since the apotropos is not the owner of the animal, there's no reason for him to pay, and therefore, v'yat milav b'nei kapara ninhu, and yatomim are not those who need kapara, because we can't hold them liable, they're minors. Who is it who says that? In other words, essentially to distinguish between kofar and regular nezakin by saying regular nezakin are reparations. It doesn't matter what the owner is aware of. His property did damage, he has to pay for it. But kofar is essentially an atonement for your negligence in allowing your animal to kill somebody. That only applies to those who are held liable for that. So who is it who takes that approach, we think? It's Rabbi Shmuel ben Shmuel Yochum ben Bruka. D'tanya, v'natan pidyon nafsho, in the context of kofar, it says he shall give a redemption for his life. D'mei nizak. That's the position of Tanakama. In other words, the value of the person who was killed. He says, no, it's the value of the person who owns the animal that killed. Now, my love, Mahakimi Palgi, is this not their disagreement? The Rabbanan Savi Kufra Mamona, who Rabbanan say Kofar is simply a payment of Mamon. Just like for anything else, you measure it based on the loss. Here, a person was killed. However you measure that value, that's what you pay. He says, no, it's a kapara. Therefore, it's based on the value of the life of the person who owns the animal that killed, who is going to be redeemed from death, as it were. Who everybody agrees that kofar is what it sounds like, an atonement payment. The machloka between them is simpler. Question isn't what's the function of the payment. The question is how do you estimate it. Everybody agrees that it's atonement. The question is how do you pay the atonement? You pay the atonement based on your value, because you should die, or based on the damage you caused, the value of the person who died, the nizak. My time with the Rabbanan, so why do the Rabbanan say that you would use the nizak if it's a kapara? Nemar shita lamata, menemar shita lamala, because here it says, kasher yushat alav. And in the context of an inadvertent collision with a pregnant woman that leads to a miscarriage, you have to pay for the maid v'ladot, kasher yashit alav bal ha'isha, v'natan b'flulim. And so therefore, and I put that, that's Pesukim 2 and 3 on the page, and therefore we say, malahalan b'denizak, afkan b'denizak, just like in the case of the v'ladot, we're measuring based on the woman's damage and the damage to her. Similarly here, he says, it means, so therefore, if it's a ransom for his life, it's got to be based on his value. Rabban, what do they say? You're right. Yes, you're ransoming the life of the mazik, nonetheless, you use the nizak as the measure. Now, Meshameach le'Rav Rav Nachman, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Adam Gadol Hu. Rava used to praise to his Rebbe, Rav Nachman. He said, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, ooh, he's a great guy. Amar Rav Nachman said, L'chshiyavo liyadcha ve'yo liyadi. So when he comes, bring him over. Ki ata l'gabe, so when Rav Acha bar Yaakov came, he brought him to Rav Nachman. Amar le, boy minoy milta. So Rav Nachman said, ask me something. Ba minei asked, shor shal shnei shutfin ketz mishal in kofer. Interesting question. You have an ox owned by two partners. The ox kills somebody. How do they pay kofer? Mishalim high kofar, if each one pays a full kofar, so kofar chadarach, one of aloshne kofarin. The Torah required one and not two payments. High chatzi kofar, if you suggest that each partner pays a half kofar, kofar shalim rach, one of aloshne kofar. Every payment of kofar has to be a full payment. So there's really no solution to this. Either you've got to destroy one of the premises, or you've got to throw your hands up. Adiyotiv kamayin while Rav Nachman was thinking about this, Amarle, he asked him another question. Tanan chayove erich arachin mashkeninotan. If somebody accepted upon himself an echiyuv of arachin, to pay the value of a person to the mikdash, then the Beit Din comes and seizes his property and takes a collateral if he doesn't pay it. Chayove chatot v'ashamot en mashkeninotan. But not if somebody's liable for a chatat or nasham, and the reason seems to be that people understand how serious that is, we don't need to force their hand. Now, his question is, chayove kofrin mai. What if somebody's chayev kofr? What do you do? Cave and the kapara, who since it's really a kapara, which we now say everybody agrees, kachatat v'asham dam, it's like a chatat, and therefore michmar chamiri lavei, he takes it very seriously. V'lo boi mashkunen, we don't have to come take collateral. Al dilma cave and the lachavrehu to boi mitvalei, but since he's, on the other hand, since he's paying another person and not paying to the mikdash, mamonahu, he thinks of it as mamon. It's not going to Hashem. He doesn't think of it so seriously. And therefore, we have to take a mashkon. Now, there's two interesting points about this. One is psychological insight that people will take it very, very seriously when it's something they give to the Beit HaMikdash. But when they owe another person money, they don't take it as seriously, and we have to act to push them. That's part one. Part two about it is that the Mishnah talks about Chayave Arachin versus Chatot Vashamot. They're all going to the Mikdash. And nonetheless, the distinction we make is, well, when people have to pay another person, they'll take it so seriously, so we don't have to put it, we have to put in an extra push. Anyhow, let's see. Inami, there's another reason to think that he would not take it seriously, and we would need to take it as a Mashkon. Kevendu lo Chata, he didn't do anything. Umamone Hudazik, it's his property that did damage. He doesn't think of it so seriously, and therefore perhaps we have to take a mashkon. So what's the answer of Nachman? Amar leshavkan istagra b'kavayta. I said, leave me alone, I'm still working on the first problem. I'm sort of imprisoned by it, and cannot figure my way out of the first problem of the two partners paying kofar, so I can't answer this one. All right, Tana Rabbanan, Sha'alo b'chazkat tam. A man borrows an ox with the assumption that it's a tam. V'nimtzam muad, turns out to be a muad, meaning it turns out it had always been a muad. Ba'ali m'shalim chatzin nezek, then it goes out and does damage. The owners have to pay chatzin nezek. V'shoa m'shalim chatzin nezek, the borrower has to pay the other half damage. Because, well, we'll see why, we'll see the arguments. Hu'ad b'veit shoel, let's say he was a short tam, and in the house of the shoel, he became muad. He damaged there several times. There was ha'ada, v'chzira l'balim, and then he brought it back to the balim. Ba'alim m'shalim chatzi nezek, v'shoal patur miklum. The balim only have to pay half nezek, because there was no ha'ada in their presence. On the other hand, the shoel is off the hook. So the nizak really suffers here. Let's take a look at this bright. Amar mar, sha'alo b'chazkat ha'vinim tzam muad, the first case, ba'alim m'shalim chatzi nezek, v'shoal chatzi nezek. Right? Amai. Why does the shoel have to pay anything? Leimale Torashi, the Arya lo Shaili. I borrowed a shore, not a lion. It was I borrowed a docile animal. I didn't know it was going to go out, and I didn't know that it was muad. I shouldn't pay anything. So I'm a Rav, what's the story? Shehikir bo shunag chan. This is a case where before he borrowed it, he recognized that it had violent tendencies. It had gored. He just didn't know that it had gored three times with proper hada. Vaneimale tam shi'ili muad lo shi'ili. So why can't the Shoel just say, listen, I borrowed a short tom. Yeah, he did one or two, but he's a short tom. I didn't know he's a short muad. So, Mishum Namarle, because the owner can say back to him, Sof Sof, Itam Have, let's say he was a short tom. Palganiz Kabayit Shlumi, you still, as the shomer, would have to pay for whatever damages he does on your watch, which is half Nezek. So you pay half Nezek now, I pay the other half. Shlumi Zil Shalim Palganizka. Vanemale, so the borrower could say back to him, Itam Have, Mishtalim Igufo. If he really was a short tom, then he'd be paid from the goof of the animal, and the animal would be sold, and I wouldn't lose anything. It's your animal. It'd be sold, and that would go to the proceeds of that would go to the nizak. So the fact that I got him as a short muad makes him fundamentally different, because now I really am out of pocket. So mishum damarle, because the owner could say back, sof sof, at lav torah bayit shlumin the didi, don't you have to give him back a short anyways? Let's say I give you a short tom. And on your watch, he goes out and does damage, and then we have to sell him. So then you owe me a shore. Right? So either way, you're going to be out. V'nemale, so why doesn't the borrower say back, im tam have modino miftarina? If it was a short tam, That'd be very easy. I could go to Beit Din and I could be moda that on my watch the short time got out and did nezek, and I'd be putter because we're taking the position of Zvid that palganizka knasa. And if it's a knas, then moda knas putter. Now that it's a muad, I don't have that option. So filumandam or palganizka mamona, and even according to the position, the palganizka mamona or papa's position, name alei tam have me arikna lei lagma. If he was a short time, then I could have snuck him away, taken him to a lagoon somewhere where nobody could find him, and then there'd be no way to charge for payment, because he has to be migufo. So what's the story? What's the case here? We must be talking about a case where the Beit Din was already toe-faced the animal, which means that there now is no advantage to having had been a tam over a muad, and therefore the owner could say to him, either way, you'd have to pay half, so you pay half and I pay half. Now, yachi balim amay mishalim chatzin ezek. So, if that's the case, why do the owners pay anything? Neimale atfaste the Torah biyada mandel matzina lishtui adina bahadei. That the owner can say to the shoel, you have put me in a position where my shore is now in the hands of somebody that I can't litigate against, because the nizak has a claim on you, not on me, and I can't litigate against him to try to prove my point. So, therefore, why should I have to pay half? Mishum damarle, because the owner, the shomer could say back to the owner, ihadrita nialach, if I had given you back the ox, lav minacha v'shakule, they would have taken it from you anyways. So either way, you'd be out half. V'nemale, the owner could say back, ihadrita nialle, havimarikinale lagma, had you given it to me before the Beit Din got to it, I would have hid the animal. Mishum damarle, sof sof, lav mi aliyah, havimushtalmi, because the answer is, look, let's say that you did, you and the owner, had gotten the animal back before the Beit Din caught up with you and you hit him somewhere. Then you have to pay regular money, min haliyah. So hanecha yechadid leina nichse, because that class claim is only true if the owner really has other property. Hechad leitle nichse, if he has no other property, ma'ika lememar, then indeed the owner has a good claim, which is, had you gotten the shore back to me on time, I could have hit him somewhere and they wouldn't have had any recourse to anything. Now you made me lose. Mishum damarle, because the shomer could say back to him, ki hecha demishtabna lididach, kachina mishtabna lidhoich. Because I, just like I, the shomer, am mishubid to pay you back your ox, I'm also mishubid to give the payments to the other guy. Why? Mi de Rabbi Natan, because of the famous shibuda de Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan omer minayin lenosh b'chaver, v'nev b'chaver v'chaver. Let's say A owes B $100, and B owes C $100. How do we know Beit Din can go straight to A to pay C and just bypass B? He pays to the one to whom the guilt is owned, meaning down the line, which means that the shomer will say, I have to pay you an ox, and you have to pay the nizak an ox. So I'm going to go straight to him, I'm mishubad to him too. All right, so that's why it is that the shomer has to pay half and the bialim have to pay half, and neither one of them has a claim that says, had it gone differently, I would have been totally off the hook. All right. The second half of the braita had this scenario where if it became muad in the house of the shomer, and then he returned it, and then he did nezek, the owners have to pay chatzin nezek, and the shoel is off the hook. Say for Rashut Mashana, Resha Rashut Eina Mashana, is a strange thing. In the second half, in that last clause, we have take the notion that Rashut Mashana, which means that when it changed possessions, it went back to being a Tam. And that's why you only have to pay Chatzin Ezek. But the Resha adopted the position that changing possessions from the owner to the Bailim didn't change its status, it's still a Muad. That's odd. Yochanan Tavra, so three answers. First answer is Rabbi Yochanan. You're right. Break our bright up. Mishanazu lo shanazu. The first half and the second half weren't taught by the same schools. And indeed, the first half holds Rashut and Mishana. The second half holds Rashut Mishana. Rabba Mar, no. Midureisha Rashut and Mishana, Seifanam Rashut and Mishana. He says, you're right. The Resha, the first cause where the shore was always Muad, Rashut doesn't help at all, which means the Seif has to also be a ruling of the Rashut not changing things. A safe final time. Why is it that he only pays half nezek? Mishum da amar le lav kol kuminach miyad talei l'torai. Rabbi says very simply that the owner can say back to the shomer, you weren't in a position to stand as ha'ada about my shor. So therefore, if I gave you a shor tam, and then it did some negichot, and you were present for them, that doesn't make it a muad. So it's not that it became a muad, went back to tam, reshut mishana, reshut ena mishana, it doesn't change anything. It just never was a muad. Papa Marmin is safe for reshut mishana, reshana, reshut mishana. He turns it around, and he says, well, I agree with you that the brayta has to be consistent, unlike Rabbi Yochanan. But I'm going to start from the Seifa and say, since the Seifa clearly is talking about a position of Rashut Mishana, the Reisha also will be. For Reisha Hainu Taima, so how come in the case of the Reisha, we say that there's full Nezek, even though it's gone from the Bailim to the Shomer, and we assume there were no more Negichot there? Shum Nechoma Kom Sholech, Shem Balavimo, Shem Balavalav. That this ox, wherever it goes, everybody sees it as the ox owned by that guy, which means it's not a shinu reshut. In other words, going from the owner to the bailim, and to the owner to the shomer, is not a shinu reshut. It's still that guy's ox. And therefore, there's no reshut mishana there. Okay. Now, back in the Mishnah, if you want to take a look back, daf and a half to mem to lamed tera moral, at the end of the Mishnah, talked about shor ha'itzadin, literally a stadium shor. I called it a toro on the page. But the idea is this is bulls that are trained for fighting. If you kill somebody, you don't kill it. Because the pasuk that talks about killing the shor, if the shor attacks somebody, says ki igach, meaning if he gores, and not a situation where others provoke him to gore, in other words, train him to be a violent animal. All right, back to our Gemara. Ibayaluhu. What am I shor istadin? That gores somebody, can you then bring it as a korban? Rav Amar Kasher, Shmuel Amar Pasul. Okay, we have machloket. Rav Amar Kasher, why? Anusu. Because after all, the animal didn't do anything that demonstrates the animal's propensity for violence. He was anus. He was trained to do this. Shmuel Amar Pasul, why? Havin nevad bo avera. Because it was used for an avera, which is the sport of bullfighting. Now, Meitaveh, we have a challenge. The beginning of Parshat Vayikra gives the pasuk that when you bring a korban, it's min habema, min habakar, min atzon, and all of those means are seen as exclusive, meaning only some of the animals, some of the cattle, some of the flock can be used. Min habema is lotziat haroveh v'tenirbat. That excludes animals that we use for bestiality. Min habakar, lotziat haneavad. That excludes an animal that was worshipped. Min hatzon, lotziat hamukze, one that was set aside for avodah zarah. Umin hatzon, the vav is there, lotziat hanogeach, an animal that gored. So now, we've excluded an animal that gored and an animal that was involved in bestiality. Those are the two we're concerned with. Amar b'shimon, im ne'mar roveh al menorogeach, ne'mar nogeach, laman amar roveh. So b'shimon says, why does the Torah have to exclude both of these? Wouldn't one teach the other? The answer is, me'sheish roveh shen b'nogeach, me'sheish nogeach shen b'roveh, because each one has characteristics not shared by the other. That would lead me from one, would not lead me to the other. What's Rovea? Asaba onas karatzon. In the case of Rovea, when an animal is involved in bestiality, whether as the actor or the acted upon, it doesn't matter whether it happened by accident, intentionally, onas karatzon, if it happened, it happened. No geach lo asaba onas karatzon. We don't say that about negicha. Negicha is defined by kavaratol hazik, that it intends to harm. Now, Nogeach, Mishalim Kofer, Roveah, and Mishalim Takofer. Nogeach has a chumra over Roveah. If an animal is Nogeach and kills somebody, you have to pay Kofer. If an animal is Roveah, has bestiality, and then we have to see what now happens, there is no Kofer payment. Alright? So, Rishon concludes by saying, therefore, the Torah had to teach both Roveah and Nogeach are not available to the Mizbeach. The part that we care about is, Tanimiyat roveh asaba onus karatzon ogeach lo asaba onus karatzon. That the Torah disregards intent when it comes to roveh, but it does regard intent when it comes to nogeach. Now, lamai hilchata, what's the purpose of that saying that? Lav lekorban, isn't that saying for issues of korban? The Torah does care when it comes to nogeach, whether it did it intentionally or not, and therefore her shor hatzadin should be kashal mizbeach like rav? Lav. Let me look at Tala. We're talking about for death. We don't kill an animal that killed unintentionally. Hachem is tabra, the amar le korban. It makes sense that it's for death, not for korban. And ogeach lasav onus karatzon, lav onus didektiv, lav ratzon didektiv. Because within this argumentation, it says that lo asabo onus karatzon, the question is that we're talking about for korban. How do we know that the Torah distinguishes between onus and ratzon? The Torah does make that distinction, legabe nezek, and therefore legabe killing the animal if it kills a person. There it's ki yigach, intent. We don't know that that's the rule about korban. So if the discussion going on in Reb Shimon's distinction and contrast that he's drawing between ogeach roveah is about korban, he's using information that's not in evidence yet. But if he's talking about liktala, then indeed that's stuff that we already know. All right. Now, so therefore, this brayta does not really prove and support Rav's position, because it's not talking about the issue of whether an animal that killed somebody is any different, whether it killed it on purpose or because it was just trained or provoked or pushed into doing it, legabe mizbeach. We don't know that there's any difference. The other half of Shimon's presentation was that a roveah doesn't pay kofar where a geach does. Hechidami, what's the case? Ilema derab of a katla, if we're talking about a case where the animal jumped somebody sexually and then killed him. So malik talaba karna, malik talaba revia. What do I care if they killed them with the horn or whether they killed them with a sexual organ? Either way, they killed them. It's still katala. Vel derab of a lo katla. It must be that there was bestiality, but there wasn't death. So hadilo mashalim kofar, shun lo katlahu. So the reason there's no kofar is nobody died. Kofar is for death. So in other words, there is no parallel to kofar benigicha that would exist with revia alone that you'd say, but you don't pay kofar. Amar Abaye li'olam derava v'lo katla. So Abaye takes one position. He says it must be talking about a case where there was bestiality and not death. But then they brought the person to Beit Din and they killed her for engaging in bestiality. I might think that this is as if the animal had killed her because it was the animal's act that got her dead. Kamash Malan, that there is no death for, there is no kofar for Revia. Rava Amar Liolam de Rava Vakatla. Rava takes the opposite position. He says we're talking about a case where there was bestiality and then killing. Kashalach Malik Talib Karnai Malik Talib Revia. And you say, well, why would I distinguish between killing this way or killing that way? The answer is actually I do, because Karen Kamanatola Zik Hai Kamanatola Hanat Atzmahu. When an animal lowers its head and puts its horns and acts and kills somebody, it's out of anger. It's out of intent to hurt. Whereas here, when an animal jumps bones, it's its own crazy sexual urges that got the best of it and it's killed. So I would think that there is no kofar, and I would have thought that there might be, and there is no kofar. But indeed, there's not. Now, by my pligi, so what's the machloka between Abaye and Rava? This is the case we saw in the second parak. Beregel shadarsal gabei hatinok b'chatzer hanizak. If an animal violates with regel, remember regel is chayiv b'chatzer nizak, but an animal tramples a baby in chatzer nizak. Labaye mishalim kofar. Abaye says you're mishalim kofar because I don't care whether there's intent or not. The animal, regel, there's no kavanah lahazik. It was just walking, it trampled the baby. Because somebody died, you pay kofar. The Rava lo mishalim kofar. Rava says no kofar is a function of kavanah lahazik, and therefore there's no kofar here. Okay, Tanya kavatei Rav. We have a brayta that supports Rav, who said that shorit tzadin is kosher lemizbeach. Shorit tzadin eno chayav mita vekasher legabei hamizbeach. Why? Mipnei shehu kimeuseh, because he is trained and forced, and therefore we have not demonstrated any bad intents on his part that would invalidate his being brought to the Mizbeach. Everybody should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up with Mishnah Hay in the next podcast.